Experts around the world say storms are becoming more severe as the Earth is becoming warmer. And our next guest has been determining what this means for the economy. William Nordhaus is an economist at Yale University. Yesterday, he was one of two winners of the Nobel Memorial Prize in Economics. And he's a proponent of the idea of putting a tax on carbon emissions. Under the carbon tax, maybe your gasoline or coal-generated electricity would cost more. Solar power would not. Professor Nordhaus says the way a carbon tax works is simple.
It's the idea that you put a price on carbon emissions the way you put a price on other things like oil or bread. And the idea is you put a price on it, then people reduce their use of it.
Why do you think this approach has not been accepted and put into practice widely in the United States?
Well, first let me say the United States is the place that's been most resistant to it. It's in place in other countries. It's actually in place in China, in Canada, widespread in Europe. China is extending it from a few of its cities to a nationwide program. So it's mainly the United States which is resisting.
How is it working in those other countries that you mentioned?
Well, the one that I particularly admire is British Columbia. It's a carbon tax, but it's also one that returns the revenues to the residents of British Columbia. So it's what's called a revenue neutral or recycled carbon tax. So what happens is it raises the price of carbon products. It's collected, but then it's rebated. And I think that's particularly attractive because then people see, oh, the government is not taking it and using it for whatever purposes it wants, but it's basically using the tax to penalize carbon products, but then giving people the revenue back so their actual real incomes in inflation-protected terms don't go down.
Well, you have had for many, many years now a huge megaphone in terms of your teaching, in terms of your international work. And right now you have a larger megaphone because you just won a Nobel Prize. So if you were to talk to decision makers, which I think you are right now, in the United States, what's the best argument to adopt a carbon tax system here?
Well, I would want to broaden it out, actually. I would say we need to explain why we have problem with climate, why we have a problem with climate change, why it's so dangerous, and why we need to do something about it. We need to clear away all the rhetoric. So that's the first thing.
Do you think that that is really not known by now?
That's a good question. I think it's known by lots of people, but also it's denied by many people. And in particular, people, it's widely rejected in public, at least by the Republican Party. And I won't mention the president who claims it's a hoax. So we just need to, that's the first thing. A second thing we need to have incentives in place. And this is where the carbon tax or carbon pricing comes to penalize the use of carbon intensive products and encourage the use of low carbon products. But then the third point, we're going to need to develop the technologies to replace the current technologies we have in place. And that's a big job for scientists and engineers and for companies as well. So those are the three things I would emphasize: public understanding, incentives, and technology.
When President Trump pulled out of the Paris Climate Accord last year, he cited the draconian financial and economic burdens the agreement imposes on our country, meaning the U.S. There are businesses that believe that environmental protection is just too costly. It is expensive. I mean, can you argue with that?
Well, I think if it is done in an efficient way, it's actually not that expensive. There are various estimates made by specialists, and the costs over 20 years would be something like 1 to 2% of income. So that's like 0.05 to 0.1% per year. And these are just the costs. This doesn't take into account the damage that we're reducing. So, for example, if you take steps to improve to slow climate change, you would lessen, say, coastal flooding, you would lessen sea level rise. And actually, our studies would suggest that the net impact would actually be positive rather than negative. So I think it's basically, there will be sectors that will be impacted. We talk about coal, it is true, coal would be impacted. But we're talking about relatively small parts of the economy compared to the large number of places that would be severely impacted.
One final question. It would seem after you win a Nobel Prize, you can rest on your laurels, so to speak. In your case, it may be just the opposite, do you think?
That's a good question. I don't really think it'll change my life that much, but I will plan to continue my teaching and my scholarship, and maybe with this endorsement I can have more time to explain people that it's not hopeless, but we will have to take steps, but they're not very painful steps. There are steps we can take that will not radically change our lifestyle, but we have to take them. They may be radical ideas, but they won't radically change our lifestyle, and they won't really radically hurt us. They will, in the long run, help us.
Professor Nordhaus, thank you, and congratulations.
Thank you so much. It's been wonderful to have a chance to talk to you and your audience.
That's William Nordhaus, Nobel laureate at Yale University. And this note, the oil company ExxonMobil has donated $1 million to a group that advocates for a carbon tax. The group is called Americans for Carbon Dividends. It's co-chaired by former Republican Senator Trent Lott, and it wants a carbon tax in the U.S. with the money going back to consumers. Exxon reportedly wants the carbon tax because it's more certain than the option of a potential mix of regulations from state or local governments.